Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Lady Godiver, in the 11th century in England, is said to have gone through the streets of her city on horseback without her clothes in an effort to persuade her husband to spare the people who were overly taxed. Well, friend, from appearances, there must be many women who are working very hard to lower taxes today. Now, there is a takeoff, and no pun particularly intended, on the nursery rhyme about old Mother Hubbard. Went to her cupboard, and her cupboard was bare. Well, today many are imitating her cupboard. Old Mother Hubbard went to the closet to get her poor daughter a dress. But when she got there, her closet was bare, and so was her daughter, I guess. There is the need, friend, for Christians to appraise the quality of attitudes and actions regarding what we wear, especially in mixed company and in public. This appraisal involves reflection on biblical revelation. Too many have given up convictions under the pressure of public opinion and the common fashions, the fads, and the lowering of moral standards, and conform to the lead of those who know not God and who care not for His truth. As we discuss the subject of modesty in our dress, we are fully aware, and we are willing to run the risk, that many will simply not give an impartial hearing to what is said, because they are determined to go their own way and do their own thing, even though the will of God contradicts them. Now, we know that that's the case with many people. It's a shame that some of us are that way, even in the church, on this and other matters. But honest and sincere brothers and sisters in Christ will want to be biblical. And we trust our remarks will be just, that they will be plain, that they will not be earthy, but they will be clear, and will try to be discreet. We contend that it is morally wrong, it is sinful to dress immodestly. And this includes the wearing of such attire as shorts and bathing suits in mixed company, skimpy clothes, clothing that is too sheer, too tight, too open, too short, too slit, and designed to reveal what ought to be covered when bodily movements are made. Immediately we can see how the cheerleader is in trouble. We're talking about immodesty in our dress. We cannot be modest and wear immodest clothing in public and in mixed company. In Matthew 5, 27 and 28 is a divine command. Here we have a prohibition. It condemns not only adultery, it condemns lust. Since lust is sinful, it should be obvious that the provocation of lust is also sinful. Who could contend that it's right before God to provoke sin? Men may well be guilty of lust, and this we do not deny. But are not women who parade their bodies in an immodest fashion guilty of provoking sin? Can the teaching that condemns causing one to stumble be ignored? Shall we disagree with Christ regarding those who encourage offenses? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, speaks of some men who may have eyes full of adultery. Some may well lust regardless of how modestly a woman may dress. And in such cases, it's his guilt altogether. But that's not what we're considering here. A woman does not contribute to sinning in that particular matter, if she's modest. There is such a thing, however, as immodest apparel, 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. And if there is modest apparel, there must be immodest apparel. We're admonished to clothe ourselves with modest apparel. Now, some try to escape the force of this teaching on modesty by saying modesty is a relative matter. What is modest now, they tell us, it was immodest 50 years ago. Therefore, we cannot draw the line as to say what is modest and what is not modest. If that argument had validity, then the teaching that calls for modest apparel would be nonsense. And if it is nonsense, why did the Holy Spirit speak of modest apparel? If one cannot determine what is and is not modest, why did the Holy Spirit mention it? The very fact that women are taught to dress modestly implies it can be determined what modesty is, even though it may well have some relativity involved. There is also a limit involved. It is immodest to wear clothing that calls attention to those parts of the body that arouse erotic impulses, such as those that create lust. Clothing that does not do that is modest. That which is designed to provoke sexual stimulation, friend, is immodest. Who denies that this is the purpose of the slits up the skirts to reveal the thighs? If brief swimsuits are modest, how could one ever be immodest? What else could be removed before immodesty was present? The only thing left is total nudity. If short shorts are modest, what must one remove before they can be immodest? If it is modest to uncover the body and emphasize the body to increase sexual stimulation, how could one ever be immodest? Oh, friend, we need to get our thinking in order. The sad fact is that some just remove the teaching of God regarding this subject. They want to do what they want to do. They want to be immodest, and they try hard to get around what God has said. Now, some things are simply right and wrong simply because God spoke them to be right or wrong. Some things are neither right nor wrong of themselves, but they can be wrong under certain conditions and circumstances and company. Now, this is not the same as situation ethics, a philosophy that denies any absolutes about right and wrong, a philosophy that contends that everything depends upon conditions and situations and circumstances. Immodest clothing is wrong because it is wrong. God has condemned it, and some conditions make it wrong because of its very nature. For instance, wearing a small amount of clothing may be acceptable in the privacy of the home and with one's mate, but on the streets, this would certainly not be proper attire. Now, who can refute this intelligently? Sexual desire is powerful, and it's not evil in itself. This appetite has been placed in the body by our God. But the same God that made us also demands modesty and condemns lust and fornication and adultery and all unlawful sexual attractions. He has provided for the satisfaction of this desire in marriage. Do you suppose God remembers how He made people? Or did He just forget about that when He condemned modesty and lust, and when He condemned fornication? God did condemn those things. God intended that mates be attracted to each other, but not drawn to just whatever might sashay down the street. What God has given to be used ought not be abused. And we abuse what God has done when we dress immodestly. Covering the body with clothes has a moral purpose as well as the purpose of protection, the prevention of sin, and ornamentation. Garments are immodest when they do not respect this moral purpose. Clothes can reflect the character and the quality of one's heart. It tells what kind of person one really is. Immodest clothing is a display of insecurity and inferiority. It is an attitude of rebellion. It's a lack of confidence. It's a defiance of God's law. One must think they have to expose themselves to get anybody's attention. Sometimes people are like that. A woman's security level is often measured by the length of her skirt. The secure, the loved, the accepted, and appreciated woman does not have to attract the attention of everyone, nor does she dress in a provocative manner. She reflects her values of herself, she shows her self-respect, and the sanctity that she has for her own body by the way that she dresses. The woman who dresses immodestly reveals a flaw in her morals and in her character, just as an emotional immature male equates manhood with profanity and obscenity and adultery and muscle shows and drinking alcoholic beverages. Both show maturity when they show moral respect for themselves and respect for those of the opposite sex. If a woman wants the respect of godly men, they must act and dress modestly as women professing godliness. Otherwise, they can be prepared to be considered cheap and easy and usable and disposable and undesirable. They can expect to be the targets of uncomplimentary remarks, sometimes called sexual harassment today. Even if they do not hear them, those things will be said when she dresses immodestly. Have you not heard the single woman complain about not finding a suitable marriage partner, but consider where they look for them? At the bars, in the taverns, as the mixed athletic clubs, at the beaches where their clothes are almost gone. What kind of people do you expect to find there, friend? Now, some excuse immodesty in women by saying that women do not realize the moral destruction they promote in the way that they dress. To which we say, that is just so much poppycock. Mature people are not unaware of the reactions to their dress and their behavior. This excuse is most likely a very dishonest one and at best very naive. Many dress to be chaste, C-H-A-S-E-D, not to be chaste, C-H-A-S-T-E. If one doubts the destructive power of immodest dress, just listen to the comments and see the reactions to their clothing. Women are not fools in the sense of being ignorant. Many are fools in what they allow themselves to wear. They know what they do when they parade themselves immodestly. This excuse might possibly apply to the very young and to the immature who really have not yet matured physically. And while it may be true that what stimulates the male may not always stimulate the female knows what stimulates the male. Men can be provoked to lewd thought and to lust. Godly men must guard the heart, even in the presence of ungodly women. One of the more glaring events I can recall was the time when some brethren, intent on keeping their hearts and their minds proper, even refused to serve the Lord's Supper up and down the aisles because of the many-skirted women in the audience. How God must have been proud of those women. Some were wearing clothing that was so short that they could not sit down without being immodest, even at worship. Again, what must God think of such assemblies and such hypocrites? Now, some say they wear brief attire to keep cool and exercise and such as that. But if that were altogether true, then why wear shorts even in weather when they wear jackets at the same time? Oh, friend, don't be fooled. Such attire is to be attractive without exposure. One can just as vigorously exercise without sacrificing modesty. And even those who live in hot climates and dry and arid areas, they do not have to abandon their modesty in order to keep cool. These are excuses offered by the worldly-minded hypocrite who wants to do whatever they want to do, God's will notwithstanding. Like modern dancing, excuses are seldom heard from the people of the world. They know the thinking behind dancing. They know the thinking behind immodest clothing. The excuses come from some hypocritical church members who conform to the ways of the world rather than the ways of Christ. To complain that others do it, even those who condemn it, it does not justify it whatsoever. Do you not realize that inconsistency on the part of one does not give license to another? Now, there's no objection to swimming, or playing ball, or keeping cool, or exercising, or even leading cheers, per se. We have seen all these things done in modest apparel. But what is condemned is using such activities as excuses to violate the teaching of God and to do what is immodest. The rule of modesty is applicable in Canada or in Key West, at the ball game or on the street. Can you imagine how an elder of the church can justify giving support and attending a beauty pageant where the contestants parade before the audience in a tight, skimpy swimsuit? Now, this preacher's had to deal with such hypocrisy and this compromise with an elder. I was even told that people in that particular area did not have the same reactions to immodesty as others. Why, I guess those people were more weird than I first detected then. But how sickening and disgusting. And yet we wonder, even with this mind and attitude, why the church is not influencing people to be saved. Friend, if you think sex and lust is not involved on the beach, at the pools, even at football games today, you separate the male from the female. You put clothing on the cheerleaders. You swim separately, and then you see what happens. You would see the entire operation fold and close. The prime interest, you see, would be removed. Ah, but what about men? As if it's all right for women to dress immodestly? Some will say, well, what about men? Well, we readily admit, all fault does not lie with women. We do not believe God has a double standard. God requires modesty from both. Neither ought to wear that which is designed to create lust, and or hope it will. But what impresses the male does not generally impress the female. They're stimulated somewhat differently. We all know that. Men are highly stimulated by the sense of sight, which more directly relates to clothing worn by women. Only to a lesser degree does it relate to clothing worn by men. And as for scantily clad men, most women are not near so affected as men are. We admit, however, there are some who like to see the male body immodestly attired, however. And for this reason, men should adhere to God's standard as well as women. Women need not be ashamed for being a woman. As one properly suggested, let the woman dress so others will know she is a woman, but also let them dress as know so that people will know that she is a lady. And often the reaction to such teaching is this: I'll wear what I want to wear, and you mind your own business. Just clean up your own dirty mind. Friend, it's not just a matter of having a dirty mind. And what one wears in the presence of others is the business of others. Furthermore, immodesty provokes rape, even though all rapists are not particularly motivated to sexual lust, but sometimes to sadistic behavior. But there are many evidences to prove immodesty does provoke lust. We're told there are 20% more rapes during the season when the sun comes out than the clothes come off. No competent authority denies the influence of immodest clothing. To deny it is to deny that exposure even attracts. And while a woman may not be a rape victim herself, she may well be the one who provokes the rapist who rapes somebody else. This is why such matters are everybody's business. You might recall that when the ship Santa Maria was commandeered at sea, a luxury and recreational liner, the women were told to refrain from swimming and wearing their party and provocative dresses and shorts, lest it provoke sexual stimulation and intrusions by the hijackers. Nobody who is honest is going to deny that skimpy clothing has this effect. Too many mothers, who ought and who probably do know better, are contributing to immodesty and also teaching their daughters and sons to ignore the godly standards. Fathers, who know what provokes lust, allow their wives and daughters to be the objects of lust by refusing to demand their womenfolk wear modest apparel. The home is the most influential source of teaching. It's the most influential source of moral influence. The home, even more than the church, will determine the moral behavior of those in the home. The church must ever teach and contend for the moral standard of the New Testament, however. And just why a person who says that he or she sincerely wants to be a Christian would entertain the desire to be like the sinful world is inconsistent with being faithful. Christians are to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Galatians 5 and verse 19 condemns lasciviousness, that which provokes lewd emotions, and immodest apparel certainly is designed to do that very thing. Those who ignore God's teaching invite God's wrath upon themselves, but they will bring harm to others as well. Now, you may ignore this truth, you may even deny this truth, but your ignorance and your denial does not change it, not the slightest. You have a serious spiritual problem, and you need to correct it immediately. There's the story of a father who took his little daughter into a pretty meadow for a picnic. Soon the father fell asleep, and when he awoke, he missed his little girl. So he called, and he searched. And finally, remembering a nearby cliff, he ran to the edge of the cliff, and looking down, he saw her mangled body where she had fallen while he was asleep. Today, many fathers, many mothers, elders, preachers, oh, they need to wake up. The church and the home needs to wake up. Everyone needs to wake up. We have seen hearts broken and tears flowing over immoralities that are committed, and many times those involved have had the permissive training regarding their clothing. Immodesty runs rampant, even among some who profess to be in the kingdom. Friend, does it matter to you? Does it matter what a person does? Does it matter regarding your children? And even if it does not matter to you now, friend, it matters to God. It matters to His people. And someday it will matter even to you. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.